Those of us in the Northeast over the age of 40 or so can now count three blackout episodes. Though all very different, they share an experiential quality. The loss of power reduced each of our worlds to our immediate surroundings, at least for a while, and we all tell vivid stories. The same, but different. In 1965, I was away at school in northern Connecticut. The kids all cheered when the emergency generator followed the Northeast grid down the tubes. It was an unexpected holiday, and the postponement of a dreaded algebra test seemed like a reprieve from the governor. If memory serves, I was no better prepared when classes resumed and blue books were handed out, but the thrill of even momentary escape is indelible. The concentration of media and population made the country a lot more Northeast-centric then, so where were you when the lights went out sounded like a national question, and we all winked along with Johnny Carson's jokes about the baby boomlet we all expected 9 months later. 12 years afterwards, most people had similarly genial adventures, but the blackout of 1977 was remembered for scattered but sometimes intense violence. I was a young reporter living in New York City then and walked a couple of blocks from my apartment to go watch some of my neighbors loot the local stores.
Well, we're just watching now someone being arrested who was in the radio clinic here. Well, obviously people were stealing stuff from in there.
Yeah, they were.
What were they getting?
TVs.
Because I saw a bunch of people walking down the street with air conditioners.
Well, I seen that man there, the one that got up against the wall by the neck. He went to tell them something. Now they're arresting him.
Which guy? The short guy or the tall guy?
The Spanish dude.
Yeah.
Again, scenes like that were the exception. Most people's memories are of volunteers directing traffic with flashlights and pitching in to help each other out. Maybe my most vivid memory was of the following afternoon. Then, as now, power returned sporadically. NPR's New York bureau was still dark, so I had to prepare my story at a studio on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. The only way to feed the report to Washington was on a battery-operated tape recorder at the bureau across town. Racing to make the deadline, I grabbed a cab on Broadway, but as we wove through Times Square, the cabbie shouted that it was illegal to turn left on 42nd Street. "Will $20 change your mind?" I asked, and he snatched the bill out of my outthrust hand as we turned east. I always wanted to do that. This time, for whatever reason, it seems a lot more like an unscheduled 3-day weekend than a crisis. 23 hours later, we still don't know when the power will be back, but sooner rather than later seems reasonable, in most places anyway. We don't know why it happened, and probably won't for some time to come, and those of us who did not attend Caltech probably won't understand it anyway. My theory is that the Northeast doesn't dominate the media and the culture in quite the same way anymore, and it just couldn't understand all the attention devoted this month to California.